My name's John Elliott, and this is a podcast from the Insights in Jazz series, www.dropback.co.uk.
Hi, this week's podcast is about the standard Beautiful Love. This standard was written in 1931, and the roadmap for this song can be found on page 84 of the book. And when you look at the roadmap, you'll notice that it's got a lot of blue on it because it's predominantly in the minor key. And you'll see flashes of white where it goes to the relative major. This song was written, it's got three composers to which the music is attributed, one of which is Victor Young. And there's a guy with surname Gillespie who wrote the words, who was also associated with the standard You Go To My Head. And what's interesting about this song, I think, is that it was originally written as a waltz. But all the recordings that I've managed to find of it, maybe it's since Bill Evans, I'm not sure, but they take the song in standard sort of 4-4 time. So let's look at the analysis of the song. It's a 32-bar song, as we've come to expect. There are 4 8-bar sections, and the form is A, B, A, C. So let's jump right into the analysis, starting with the A sections, which in this song are identical. Now, what's interesting about the A sections, I think, is that they're like the opening of Autumn Leaves, but the two halves are switched around. So in Autumn Leaves, we saw that there's a cadence in the major key, and then the second half is a cadence in the relative minor key. Well, in Beautiful Love, we start with a cadence in the minor key in the first half, and the second half of the A sections is a cadence in the relative major. And the detail is what's interesting here. How do you get from the relative minor to the relative major cadence start? And the answer is using a bootstrap launcher. You can see this described in the book on page 30, and also in the summary table of how joins are used on page 50, you'll see the bootstrap launcher there. So what happens is, here we're in D minor, and we get to the end of the cadence in D minor, and we have effectively a bootstrap join. You would normally expect to go to A minor followed by D7, but in this case there's no time, you just go straight to the D7. And so the way to remember this is that you're on D minor and you go to a D7, so the root stays the same, and you turn the chord from a resolved minor chord into a dominant chord with the same root, and that's what I call a bootstrap launcher. It's a common device to get you from the relative minor to launch you at a cadence to the relative major. At the end of the A section, we see the join that we've come to expect to get us from the major to the relative minor, which is the sidewinder. So we have a sidewinder launcher. After the F major 7, we see E half diminished A7, and the sidewinder is the down a semitone from the F root to the E root. The sidewinder join is described on page 46 in the book. So that's the two A sections very quickly covered off. So let's look at the B section. The first thing we see is that we resolve from the launcher to the relative minor, as you'd expect, on the relative minor itself, D minor. And the next chord is what we call an overrun, so basically going from chord 1 to chord 4. And I view this a bit like a parenthesis, so okay, yes, it does happen, but it isn't essential to the harmony of the song. It doesn't take us to a new key, it's just going from chord 1 to chord 4, D minor to G minor. So when we come to join to the next thing, which is the nowhere launcher, the join that I put in there is in brackets. It's a it's a nowhere, because what I'm thinking here is that we're going from the D minor, the tonality of D minor, we're going to start on flat 6-7, which is where a nowhere launcher starts. I'm not thinking of a join from the G minor, I'm thinking of, okay, now I need to start the next brick on flat 6-7, which is B flat 7 in this case. And this kind of absolute jumping is described in the book on page 27. So the nowhere launcher, instead of seeing E half diminished A7 going to D minor, which is what we'd expect, a standard kind of minor cadence, what we see here instead is B flat 7 A7, which is the flat 6-7, 5-7, the nowhere cadence approach, if we like, so I'm calling it a nowhere launcher here. It's more common to see the nowhere cadences and nowhere launches in minor keys. So this takes us to the second half of the B section, which turns out to be simply a plain old turnaround, a pot. But rather than the maybe two chords per measure that we might expect, it's just one chord per measure. So I called it a slow pot. It fills the whole second half of the B section. And the colouring you'll see in the roadmap for this slow pot is blue predominantly, but the B7 is coloured orange because it's a dominant chord for colour, not for function. And here we would, in D minor, we would typically expect to see a B half diminished on chord 6, but in this song it's the B7 just for colour. Now, right at the end of the B section, how do we get back to the start of the second A section? And in the roadmap in the book, I've neglected to put any join in there at all. But technically speaking, I suppose I should have put in a bracket, two goes, kind of join here, because we get to the A7 at the end of the pot, and then the A section starts with the E half diminished, which is repeating the two chords that we just played, and it's effectively a two goes. It's the kind of join that you see in the middle of a two goes cadence or a two goes approach. So the second A is identical to the first A, and all we're left with then is the C section. The C section starts exactly like the B section does, so the first half of it we already know about. And the last half, the pot that we saw in the B section, is replaced with what I call a nowhere turnaround. So it's another kind of turnaround. This one's got a normal 6 chord, which is a B half diminished. But this time the 2 chord has been replaced with the nowhere chord. So I've called it a nowhere turnaround here. And that's why the colouring on this nowhere turnaround is blue for minor for the first measure, and then I've made it orange for the second measure because we've got the B flat 7 for colouring purposes instead of the E half diminished. And then finally we finish on chord 1, the tonic minor, as you would expect. And that's the whole tune analysed, really not that complex a tune, and a great one to play on.
My name is John Elliott. I'm the author of Insights in Jazz, which is available from www.dropback.co.uk. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask about the podcast or the method in the book, or any suggestions you'd like to make for future podcasts, then please contact me by emailing me at john@dropback.co.uk. If you found this podcast useful and you'd like to leave a tip, then you can visit the website where there's a PayPal donate button. Thanks for listening.